Next, we have LaShonta Rice.
Good afternoon. So I can't give you the speech like my pastor gives. I won't be before you long because my presentation is slightly longer than Mr. Owens. My name is LaShonta Rice. I am a PhD candidate in the health promotion, education, and behavior department at the University of South Carolina as well. And today I'll be presenting on using community engaged research to inform development of an environmental health survey. I have no financial conflicts of interest or sources of financial support to disclose. And my presentation will utilize the following outline. I'll give just the learning objectives. I'll give a background before the study, information on the study area, go into the methodology results, and so on and so forth. The learning objectives for this presentation are to discuss the utility of photo voice and consensus building to disseminate community engaged research, one, and two, to explain the advantages of using community engaged research, informative research, and survey development. So just a little background, studies have shown that there's an association between chronic illnesses and exposure to toxic environmental conditions, and underserved and minority populations in metropolitan areas have been shown to experience complex environmental health challenges. In particular, studies have shown that racial and socioeconomic disparities, and there is a disparity in the distribution of hazardous waste facilities. In 2006, the South Carolina Ports Authority proposed expanding their port into an underserved community in the area. And when you propose to expand a port, you have to actually do an environmental impact assessment. From the environmental impact assessment, the Ports Authority were able to identify 22 environmental justice communities. And environmental justice, for those of you who do not know, is the fair and equal treatment and meaningful involvement of people regardless of race, color, national origin, and income with respect to development, implementation, and enforcement of environmental laws and regulations and policies. So the purpose is, as far as these communities are concerned, they deemed these environmental justice communities because they saw that the communities had more minority presence, there were more individuals that held low income, that were low income, and also they noticed that in these same areas, they were high poverty areas when compared to the county as a whole, as well as across the state. So our study area is North Charleston, which is a small city in the Charleston area. It's north, about 30 minutes north of Charleston. It has a population over 100,000. It's predominantly African American, about 47%. The education level is approximately 80% have above and high school education. People with a bachelor's degree is about 15%. The median household income is 39,000, a little over 39,000, and the percent of poverty is 22%, which is higher than the county and the state level. This particular city, because it is within Charleston, is majorly industrial, and it also is the third largest city in the state, as well as the second largest city in the Tri-County area. And the Tri-County area is Berkeley, Charleston, and Dorchester County. So as a result of the proposed port expansion, combating environmental inequalities began to occur. And what happened was there was a collaboration established between a community and university. The Lowcountry Alliance for Model Communities, or LAMPSE, which I'll refer to as, is a community organization that came together to combat environmental justice. LAMPSE is made up of 7 of those 22 communities which decided to actually create this organization. As a result of the partnership, the Charleston Community Research to Action Board, or CCRAB, was established. And this action board is who actually, they actually take all the information that we have a conversation about back to each individual neighborhood or association so that things can happen in their community. From this partnership, the Environmental Health Corps was developed, and this is a corps that is actually under the Institute for Partnerships to Eliminate Health Disparities at the University of South Carolina. Through the Environmental Health Corps, we established 3 pilot projects, and one of the pilot projects that I'll be presenting today is about photo voice. We wanted to use mixed methods to kind of assess perceptions of risk, and we primarily use photo voice and utilize that to inform a survey. So we wanted individuals in the community to document their perceptions of the impact of local environmental hazards and pollution sources on health. So again, we use photo voice. Those who do not know what photo voice is, it's documentary photography. So it's basically going out, giving someone a camera and saying, Look, we want you to tell us through your own voice and through your own eyes what you are really experiencing. And it helps to identify social and cultural experiences of communities. We use a three-part process. So we had an invitation or an instructional meeting. So we invited individuals to participate. Those who agreed were then given instructions. And what we tried to do is make sure we did not lead individuals as far as the process. So we gave them instructions on what they could not take photos of, for example, individuals, because there are some ramifications for taking the pictures and things that you have to sign, and that's not what we wanted to do. So we wanted them to really take pictures of their physical environment. We also had a photo selection meeting. So once they agreed to participate, they received photos, forms, so they could document where they were taking the photos. They were asked to take at least 10 photos, and then they came back and selected just those 10. If there were less than 10, that was fine, because we had a few people participate. We were looking for about 30 people, but we had a little less, and that will be in the following slide. And the last part of the process was what we called a show and tell, or a group discussion. The show and tell is where you come, and you've selected your photos, and now you want to come back. We're going to give you the photos that you have taken and selected, and we're going to have a conversation around what these photos actually mean. And prior to that occurring, the research staff got together and actually combed through the photos, and we determined what kind of things were kind of standing out to us as far across the 191 photos that were taken. And each person that participated and completed the three-part process received a $20 incentive. So this is just some general demographic information. Approximately 15 people agreed to complete the process and participated. All were African American. Predominantly, participants were female. They had a college education. They were between 50 and 64 years old. They were full-time employees. They owned their home, and they 69% rated their community as a good place to live. And this is very important, because we're looking at the environmental quality as far as these photos. And also, they perceive that the environment plays a role in causing some form of disease. So for the sake of time, I will not go through all of these photo themes, but we identified these 10 themes. And I'll give you an example of a few of the things, just to give you an idea of how the participants felt. The group discussion, that will follow after the photos, there were three things that stood out. Individuals mentioned gentrification, industry pollution, and access with regards to food, goods, and education. So here's an example of housing and social services. And the title of this photo is Community Advancement. This participant said that they wanted to show that this is a good center for the community. So this is one of the neighboring community centers. And they said that it tells us that the environment gives us access to summer camps for the children and also activities for senior citizens to prevent health issues in the community. Excuse me. Community Center does health summits to help with the issues in the community. Excuse me. This is a photo that was entitled More Bad Air. And so one of the requirements for taking photos, we asked them to give us, during the photo selection meeting, one sentence or a one word that might describe the photo that they had taken. And so the title of this photo was More Bad Air. And this is a photo of a local plant. And this participant felt that it had a bad smell. It used to be a major problem with yellow soot accumulating on people's cars, but they have been making some improvements. And so imagine if there's yellow soot accumulating on people's cars, what they can actually do to someone's lungs and how that might be connected to lung cancer. This photo was entitled Below Average, and I won't read all of the statements for the sake of time. But this was actually one of the local elementary schools, and they felt like the education in the area was not the best. This is an example of some of the power lines and also a facility they felt like was industry related. This photo is going to be very important with regards to developing questions, and this person just named it Do Something. The water contamination, debris in the water, it's going fishing. People are fishing here. They're crabbing due to lack of awareness. Someone has to tell the people better. People need to know. And I thought this one was very intuitive. This person said that they named it a pipeline of disparity. This is actually a huge pipe, a sewage drain system going into the community, and they felt like that was very hazardous with there potentially being a hole in the sewage drain and that being exposing them as far as their health. And lastly, bad customer service. This is a local gas station that has been shut down, but people thought that this was a problem. They had a problem with abandoned businesses. So I won't go through all of this, but gentrification came up quite a bit in the group discussion. And so I've highlighted just some of the items that I felt like were related to gentrification. And this person at the top talked about how their school had been closed down. It had been in existence for quite some time, and they closed it down because they wanted to fix it. But they were bringing a Montessorio school, and they felt like that really didn't apply to their community. As black people in the community, they said that this is not common to us. And there are several references about this doesn't relate to us. We can't move back in our community. They closed our project. And so these are just a few examples of gentrification. Another example was industry pollution. They felt like industry, there was a difference between pollution and industry. However, they had to in some way overlap because it was a hazard also with regards to what they were being exposed to. And lastly, access with regards to food. You know, they talked about it. You have to catch the bus. You have to pick and choose what you're going to get because you can't carry everything and walk. If it's like older people, they have it even harder to try and get around. It's ridiculous. And this area is also considered a food desert. So they're showing here that we're having to pick and choose what we can carry from the bus station and what we have access to. And this doesn't even speak to how much financially in these are low-income areas. So the environmental health survey is also connected. We utilize some of the information from the Photo Voice session to actually inform the survey. But the survey was also developed using the literature, existing items and surveys, and we used a discussion with the community partners to kind of determine which questions were best for the survey. We drafted the questions and then we pilot tested it at a large event. A few of the components, which I will not go to, they're actually to your far left. And it's six domains. So we're looking at risk, we're looking at behaviors, and we're also looking at social support. We administered it using a paper and pen survey, and we also, which was developed in Microsoft Word, and we also used the same survey in Qualtrics, which is an online system where you can actually email, which it generate a web link. The CCRAB and Environmental Health Corps helped us to actually distribute survey packets. The survey packet included a survey, postcard, and postage paid envelope. So here's an example of a question. Would you say being exposed to one of the following is a very serious health threat, somewhat serious, somewhat minor, or not a health threat at all? And highlighted in the red where we kind of adjusted the question, we decided to provide a definition and we used things that were actually identified in the photos in our example. So air pollution from the plant, we included that here. Water pollution, where the person talked about debris in the waterway. Soil contamination was something that is known about the community, and we're doing soil testing, so we decided to include that. And also toxic waste, which we know is connected to some of the diseases that have been mentioned. Another example is, what is your regular source of medical care? So we decided to see how, with regards to access, if there are issues with food and education, what about with medical care? Because we know there are known disparities with cancer mortality in this area. And lastly, we wanted them to indicate where they were living in North Charleston, because health and place are definitely related. And so these were the actual seven communities that created the organization that came together. But we wanted to know, where do people actually live? Do they live in North Charleston or not? So in conclusion, Photo Voice was very useful, and it helped us to ascertain community input. So we were able to capture community, social, and environmental health experiences. We were able to engage community members through participatory research in the process. And we were able to document those perceptions and raise awareness at the same time of the public health challenges in these underserved communities. We were also able to provide insight into environmental and cancer health disparities, because not many people do that overlap, because they are connected. And lastly, it helped to facilitate and generate the revision of questions on the survey. And due to the fact that the survey is now being analyzed, we didn't want to provide too many questions, because that's for another session. So our next steps, we're going to utilize PhotoVoice and the survey to inform future health interventions and work with CCRAB to develop and disseminate a community report on the findings. Possibly a PhotoVoice booklet, but a community report was definitely something that the community referred. I would like to acknowledge my fellowship through the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, and also the National Institute on Minority Health and Health Disparities who funded this project. And here are the contributors. Some are in the room. And do you have any questions?